As always, we begin with the children today. Children, who saves whom? If you were drowning in the ocean and a lifeguard swam out and brought you in, then he saved you. You did not save yourself. You didn't do any part of your saving. Now, imagine that your parents give you a gift. You didn't give it to yourself. You didn't do any part of giving it. That's what makes it a gift. Someone else does all of the giving. Well, children, when God saves you from sin and the punishment of hell, He does all of the saving. You don't save yourself. You can't save yourself. You don't even do part of the saving. God does it all by Jesus' perfect life, His death on the cross, and His resurrection from the dead. God brings salvation to you by giving you the gift of belief in Jesus. You don't give it to yourself. You can't give it to yourself. You don't even do any part of the giving. All you do is receive it. After He gives you salvation, you can thank Him for it and live in love for Him. Well, that is what the Bible teaches us today, children. And so, receive God's gift of salvation. Believe in Jesus. Congregation, in a few weeks, 31 October, will be the 508th anniversary of Martin Luther's 95 Theses that began the Reformation. It was the spark that set the world on fire. The purity of the gospel in the Word of God was regained. The Reformation's rallying cry was soon, Sola Scriptura, Sola Gratia, Sola Fide, Solus Christus, Soli Deo Gloria. Salvation from Scripture alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and to God alone be the glory. This is exactly the Bible's truth of salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 is one of the clearest texts in all of Scripture that teaches outright sola gratia and sola fide, only grace and only faith. And it also implies solus Christus and soli Deo Gloria. By Christ alone and to God be the glory alone. Salvation by grace alone through faith alone is the divine gift apart from works and is God's workmanship that produces works. Let me repeat that. Salvation by grace alone through faith alone is the divine gift apart from works and is God's workmanship that produces works. So first today, salvation by grace through faith, the divine gift. And Paul first shows us the divine origin. For by grace you are saved through faith. This shouts divine origin. In order to see this, consider first grace. God's grace in saving sinners is His unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor poured out upon us by giving us what we do not deserve. Grace, along with mercy, is an effectuating cause of God's saving action toward us. But let's be sure that we don't think of grace as some sort of a commodity. Because grace is also a quality of God's own character. It is the headwater of the pouring river of God's favor upon us. This is the kind of God that He is. It is in His nature to give freely to those who cannot deserve, earn, or merit. He gives freely what the recipient cannot procure himself through his own means or efforts. God's gracious character does not contradict or nullify His justice or His demand for perfection and merit. The two attributes coexist in God's character and are resolved in Him in perfect harmony. Where we sinners are concerned, the harmony is found in Jesus Christ and the gospel truth and divine actions. And so, some people are and shall be the objects of God's strict justice, for they are sinners. But on the other hand, some are the objects of God's grace, for though they are sinners, Christ has satisfied God's justice on their behalf, and He has merited for them perfectly the salvation and its benefits which they cannot merit or procure for themselves. But remember this, Christ did not win grace for us by His saving work as though it didn't exist before that. Christ did that saving work for us in the first place by God's gracious character and its outflow in action. Salvation by grace is grounded in the divine nature and flows out from Him as a divine act. Grace is all and only divine. Our God is a giving, generous God. He is the source of grace. And brothers and sisters, our hearts should melt with awe, affection, and gratitude for God in His gracious nature and in the outpouring of His grace upon us. Now, next, to see that this salvation is of divine origin, consider the estate of salvation. That first phrase in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, is best translated, "By grace you are saved." You see, this is a tense in Greek that stresses the abiding result of a past action. And by stressing that abiding result of the past action, it emphasizes the blessed estate of salvation that we are in by grace. It still accounts for God's past saving action from which our blessed estate results. We can hearken back to all that God did to save us, as it's recounted to us, for example, in Ephesians chapter 1. He elected us from eternity to an entire salvation. He predestined us to adoption as sons through the only begotten Son. He redeemed us by the shedding of His perfectly righteous Son's blood. He purposed to bring us all under one head in union with Christ. He gave us an inheritance in Christ. He sealed us in Christ by His Holy Spirit. He made us alive together with Christ. Our entering into and remaining in the blessed estate of salvation are all and only of divine initiative and action flowing from divine favor. We who are in the blessed estate of salvation ought to be thoroughly humbled by God's grace. Those who are not in the blessed estate of salvation ought to be begging God for His grace. The estate of salvation is of divine origin. Now next, consider faith. And this is the instrument through which we receive the gracious salvation that God freely gives. Contrary to unbelieving opinion, faith is not confidence or optimism over one's ability to make his own way or overcome all odds and difficulties. These are merely prideful self-reliance, fallen self-dependence, and rejection of God. Neither does faith defy logic and reason to desperately clutch at the irrational. I know that that is also an unbelieving perception. No. The Bible and the Christian faith it teaches are perfectly logical and reasonable, not a foolish belief in something nonsensical and non-existent. Nothing is more reasonable because nothing is more logical and reasonable than God. On the other hand, faith is not what many Christians think it is either. Faith is not something that all people are born with as a natural capacity to believe in whatever they exercise free will to choose. It is not a neutral internal commodity without outside influence until the person chooses an object upon which to set it. Biblical faith has only one object, Christ. Biblical faith is saving faith. Only the one whom God by grace has saved can have faith. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 86, teaches, faith in Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon Him alone for salvation as He is offered to us in the gospel. God instills faith in the heart of a sinner by the Spirit and Word of God. Faith is the divine instrument of divine origin through which we receive the salvation that is on the basis of His grace. Now, the next matter is key to understanding this entire text and getting the emphasis that it places on grace. And I'm going to read this section, this little statement from the New American Standard, because it makes a point and not the ESV. It's translated, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." The ESV says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing." So think of that or the word this. Okay? "And that, not of yourselves." The long-term controversy here is over the word translated "that" in the New American Standard or "this" in the ESV. You wouldn't think that that small word has such huge import, but it does. Because of our differences with our Arminian brethren, many Reformed people say that this word refers specifically to faith. That faith, or this faith, is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Well, that's true. Faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We've just seen that. But brothers and sisters, this is saying much more than that. The Greek indicates the word "that" refers to the preceding concept as a whole. It does not refer to salvation alone apart from grace or faith, but it looks at the whole package. That is the by grace through faith salvation. Put it all together, hyphens between every one of those words. By grace through faith salvation that we have from God. It says that the salvation that can only be characterized as on the basis of grace and through the means of faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. It speaks of no other view of salvation except this, and no part of it can be left out of the idea that is all of divine origin. That is what grace is all about. To further clarify grace, Scripture then sets up a mutually exclusive contrast with two points that this by grace through faith salvation is neither of human origin nor human works. And so if you're looking at your outline there on the back of your order of service, you'll see that the next part of this is salvation by grace through faith is not of human origin. The text says it is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Neither the whole package nor any of the elements of that package comes from us as its source, as either a native human quality or a natural ability. Because it is a package that is all hooked together, and the package is not given to everyone on earth, then no part of that package is given to everyone on earth, including faith. No. The entire package of salvation on the basis of grace through the means of faith is the gift of God to those whom He has chosen for it. This too fits logically within the context of Ephesians. This package God gives to that specific yet astonishingly huge number whom He elected and Christ redeemed by His shed blood. And the Holy Spirit is bound to irresistibly call. And God will preserve to the obtaining of the eternal inheritance. It cannot be made clearer than this contrast makes it. Grace, salvation, faith, the entire package is God's gift and is of divine origin. It cannot be of human origin. By the same token, salvation by grace through faith is not of human works. The text plainly says it is not as a result of works that no one should boast. Not any kind of human effort by which the world deceives itself that it contributes to or obtains heaven and eternal life. Neither offerings to idols, religious rituals, baptism, humanitarian service, door-to-door canvassing, obedience to civil laws, or anything else can save. Salvation, grace, faith are not the result of any human works. Not even true biblical good works of obedience, worship, and service to God and His people. They cannot be. Because sinners cannot do works good enough, nor enough good works to add one iota or obtain or merit eternal life, forgiveness, cleansing, or any part of salvation, grace, or faith. If it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works, otherwise grace would no longer be grace. Romans 11:6. We cannot achieve salvation by our works. In fact, our works cause the very predicament from which we need to be saved. Your faith cannot rest upon anything or anyone but Christ. Your faith cannot even rest upon your faith. See, this is the danger that is inherent in the doctrine that faith is natural and neutral in every man as a capacity to choose Christ. It implies that faith is of human origin and that faith is a human work. Both of these make grace and salvation dependent on man so that grace is no longer grace. Brothers and sisters, if even the slightest taint of works enters in, then your salvation might just as well be all of works and forfeit. Now, thankfully, many of those brothers and sisters in Christ who believe that do not recognize the implications, and their faith is genuinely set upon Christ alone, even if they think they chose Him by free will through their own exercise of faith. But there are many of those, sadly, who do not have faith set upon Christ alone, and they are therefore deceiving themselves. Now, whether it is those who claim outright to depend on good works or those who deceive themselves because they chose to answer an altar call, they are boasting in themselves. That spits in the face of God. Salvation by grace through faith is not a result of works in order that no human being will have room to boast and steal glory from God. 1 Corinthians 1:31 says that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. In whom do you boast? Yourself or the Lord? Is your faith God-given saving faith? Is your salvation real because it is sola gratia, sola fide, solus Christus? By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. By grace through faith, salvation is the divine gift. Now, our second point today, salvation by grace through faith, God's workmanship and its result. Look at the first part there of verse 10. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. That confirms that salvation is all of God, all by grace alone, through faith alone, apart from works. God, by saving grace, regenerates us and joins us to Christ to recreate the sinner unto life. It is a life formed to righteousness and good works instead of sin. God, by grace, creates us anew in Christ, that we should first have salvation on the basis of grace through faith. But His purpose from eternity for making us those new creatures in Christ is for us then or thereafter to walk in good works. Now, it tells us that God has ordained those good works beforehand. And whatever God foreordains certainly comes to pass. The good works in which we walk become the very sure result of God's workmanship to create us anew in Christ. This teaches us two things about the Christian's good works and their relationship to salvation by grace through faith. One, and we're going to repeat this again, we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. But faith does not remain alone. Saving faith always produces good works in the life of the Christian. That is why good works serve as evidence of faith. Good works are never, I repeat, never the cause of salvation. They are always, I repeat, always the product of salvation. Justification always produces sanctification. The Westminster Confession echoes this, quote, "Faith, thus receiving and resting upon Christ and His righteousness, is the alone instrument of justification, yet is it not alone in the person justified, but is ever accompanied with all other saving graces, and is no dead faith, but worketh by love." End quote. The second thing we learn, even the good works in which we walk and the life that has been God-given and God-formed to walk in them are by God's grace. And again, the confession teaches their ability to do good works is not at all of themselves, but wholly from the Spirit of Christ. And that believers may be enabled thereunto, beside the graces they have already received, there is required an actual influence of the same Holy Spirit to work in them to will and to do of His good pleasure. And yet, brothers and sisters, this does not negate our responsibility to pursue holiness in doing good works. You see, the confession adds to that. It says, "Yet are they not hereupon to grow negligent, as if they were not bound to perform any duty unless upon a special motion of the Spirit. But they ought to be diligent in stirring up the grace of God that is in them." So then, having seen both the divine, not human origin of the by grace through faith salvation in which we are, and having seen God's workmanship in it as well as the result, these good works in which we walk, having also seen the relation of works to grace in salvation, that works have no place in procuring salvation, but are only produced by salvation, and having seen that all of this is still the grace of God, we can now finish with some implications and applications. Implication number one, the Roman Catholic concept of salvation is disproved. There is no more concise, to the point text in all of Scripture that disproves the Roman Catholic scheme that adds baptism, rituals, and good works to faith in order to procure salvation. Theirs is a crass faith plus works scheme that actually puts more weight on the human works than on the faith. This passage most clearly and concisely says to the Roman Catholic that salvation is through faith alone. One of the most important words theologically that we have ever come across. Alone. Human works do not and cannot enter into the saving act that brings someone into the blessed estate of salvation by Jesus Christ. This also exposes the Roman Catholic error. It teaches that good works do not contribute to salvation, but salvation produces good works in the life of the believer. You see, the Roman Catholic scheme gets that confused. But this corrects their scheme that confuses justification and sanctification. To show that justification is by grace through faith alone, apart from works of the law, that's why earlier in the worship service we read from Romans 3, where it clearly says in verse 28, we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. The justified person has been saved on the basis of grace alone, and then good works follow in the life of the already saved person. Implication number two, the free will concept of faith and salvation is disproved. Now, brothers and sisters, we thank the Lord that there are still many real Christians among those who hold that untrue concept that all people have faith and by free will choose Christ. I have talked to many of those people. I've talked to many of our Reformed brothers and sisters in Christ and pointed out that it's simply a matter that they are mistaken in their understanding of how they came to be Christians. But thankfully, through a true faith, they are still Christian. They are regenerate Christians who hold to the basics of the gospel in what R.L. Dabney called a happy inconsistency. Nevertheless, for the sake of those who are self-deceived in this error, we need to stand against the teaching itself that treats faith as a human work that proceeds from a supposedly free will. That teaching denies Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 in total depravity that fallen man is dead in sin and his will is completely enslaved to sin. That teaching also denies this passage of today in which God says that faith is not of human origin nor a human work, nor is salvation achieved by human will or work. It is all the gift of God, all on the basis of the grace of God. And now we turn to application number one, the imperfection of the good works in which we walk. Though the Holy Spirit produces them in us, our remaining sin still taints them. There is so much imperfection left in our good works that we have to say with Isaiah, all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. We dare not look to them to earn anything with God or skew our view of grace. We would lose the proper perspective that all of our salvation and our good works come about by grace, and we can earn nothing from God. To say that our good works earn something from God is blasphemy against Christ and denies that His righteousness is sufficient for our justification. Brothers and sisters, how can we add to the work of Christ? Now, besides this, our works are so tainted by sin that they would only earn us greater condemnation, a hotter hell, if they too were not covered by the imputed righteousness of Christ. We need Christ every moment of every day, even for our good works, because God accepts those good works only in Christ as He accepts us only in Christ. I know there's that question that comes up. What about those rewards that we read about in the Gospels? Yeah, God has promised to give His people blessings and rewards for our obedience and good works. But these are rewards of grace that God gives simply because of His promise. They earn nothing. You see, we owe perfect obedience to our God anyway, apart from any reward. But brothers and sisters, remember this. We are poor and unprofitable servants, even when we have done everything that it is our duty to do. And brothers and sisters, we don't even do that. When it comes to our good works, we had best be humble and not boast. Application number two, and this is the last portion, our rallying point. Sola Scriptura, sola gratia, sola fide, solus Christus, soli Deo Gloria. These were once the rallying point of the Reformation. They need to be once again. Just as the gospel was under attack then, so it is now, and it always will be. It may not be so cataclysmic a conflict today as it was then, but then neither is there as much concern for the truth among Christians today. It may not be as sharply defined a conflict now as it was then, but then again, Christians in our day and age are less zealous, less likely to hold deep convictions, less likely to understand the gospel and what is at stake when error attacks, and more likely to be wishy-washy. The five solas need to be your deep-seated convictions, from which, by God's grace, no one will turn you. So, brothers and sisters, deepen those convictions. Seek the Lord to set them within you strongly as the pure teaching of Scripture, and grant you to stand firm upon them so that you are ready to die for them if need be. You will be in the good company of millions who have gone before you and are now among the souls of righteous men made perfect, whom God put to good use here while here on earth, but who are now in heaven. This rallying cry is at the very heart of the gospel. How can you treat it as inconsequential? Will you not take up this rallying cry as your own? Sola Scriptura, sola gratia, sola fide, solus Christus, soli Deo Gloria. From Scripture alone we have the glorious truth of the gospel, that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and to God alone be the glory. May we ever hold to that gospel as our deepest conviction. Hold forth that gospel as the word of life and give God all the glory for our salvation. May we ever boast not in ourselves, but in the Lord. And so with Paul, we say, because God alone has saved us by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. O God of all grace and favor, we simply can never thank you enough or well enough for your grace to us in Jesus Christ. But we do thank you. Help us always to walk humbly with you as a result, to stand firm for sola scriptura, sola gratia, sola fide, solus Christus, and soli Deo Gloria. Help us also to be mindful and responsible in seeking to walk in the good works you ordained for us, and your by grace through faith salvation of us produces. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.